with lots of heart and lots of love is Daf Lamed Beit. So it's all about heart today, and we are up at the Halakha Mishnah near the top of the Daf. So we're moving on now to Shehiyah. Now, we haven't talked about the specific dinim of Shehiyah in a Mishnah yet, so let's talk about all of the various scenarios of Shehiyah. So Nafla Hasakin V'Igbiyah. So the Shechet starts shechting, and the knife falls out of his hands. He bends down, picks up the knife, and continues the Shechita. Or Naflu Kelav V'Igbiyah. Maybe his pants fell off when he was doing the Shechita, and he put them on, he picked them up, and meanwhile that interrupted his Shechita. Or he shechiz et ha-sakin, maybe. So there's two ways of learning this. So either it means that he actually stopped the Shechita for a moment to make sure that the knife was sharpened, or a separate case, or af, or he got tired. Rashi learns it's actually the same thing. He had been doing before the Shechita. He had worked very hard to sharpen the knife, and he got tired, and because of that, b'chaveru v'shachat. Okay, it's a little bit strange, but anyway, that's how Rashi understands the case. In any event, in all of these cases, im shahakid shechita, if the amount of time that he had to stop in between to pick up his knife or the pants or whatever it was as long as it would take to do another shechita. Now, Gemara is going to explain what that means. Then it's possible. And Rabbi Shimon Amar, im shahakat bidikur. Remember, we talked about this before. We're trying to bring a raya that you need the bidikasimani. The amount of time is the amount of time it takes for bikur. Now, we don't know what that bikur is, and that too, the Gemara is going to ask us. Okay, so the Mishnah says as long as it takes to do a shechita, what does that mean? It means it doesn't mean as long as it takes to complete this shechita, which may be almost finished. It means to start over again and to finish. Remember, this is very nagei also in other things. I see somebody had a hefzik in Kriyat Shema or Shmona Esrei, things like that. There's a shear of as long as it would take you to finish, but here it means to start and from the beginning and to do a complete other shechita is the shear. So Amrei le Rav Kana v'Rav Asi le Rav, they asked Rav, when you say the amount of time it takes to do another shechita, does that mean depending on what you're shechting, or is that like a standard shear? So let's say you're shechting a chicken. I mean, is it the amount of time it would take to shecht the chicken, or is it the amount of time it would take to shecht the cow, which is much longer? So what does it mean? K'deshketat be'imala be'imava of, or is there just a standard shear of shi'iyah alach mi Sinai, the amount of time that it would take to shecht a, whatever, an animal, let's say. So maybe it means that. Odilma, af be'ima lo'of, even shechting an animal for an animal. Maybe, and an animal for a bird is not because it's similar, it's just the shear. So animal for bird would be exactly the same. Amalu Sarav said to them, look, I have to tell you the truth. I learned this from Rabbi Chiya. Remember, Rabbi Chiya was his uncle, and he always used to call him Unc or Chavivi, which is avuncular, right? But at that time, I wasn't really in a very good mood. I guess they just had a little bit of a fight, whatever. But he said, I wasn't feeling close to Unc to be able to ask him. So at the time that I learned it, I never really got it clear. Lo avi b'dich, the baby chavivi, the eshayli. Itma. Omar Rav, lemaisa, in the end, Rav Paskin, kedei shechitas behema lebehema, ukedei shechitas of lo'of. V'Shmuel Amar, afilo behema lo'of. So Shmuel says this is a standard shear, whatever it takes to do a standard shechita of a behema, which we're going to question in a moment what that means also. And according to Rav, it means whatever you were shechting, the shehiyah is defined by a similar shechita. So if you're shechting a chechen, how long would it take to shecht another chechen? V'chein ki yaseh Rav in Amar Rav Yochanan, he paskened as well. In Eretz Yisrael, Tainit Ravin, back in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yochanan said, Afilu behemala. Oh, if it's all one shear, it's not really a function of what you're shechting. Rabbi Hanina Amar, Rebbe Hanina says it's not a matter of just the Shechita. It's a matter of Kedeshi Yavi Be'ema Acheret Vishchot. It's a matter of bringing another animal here and then Shechting it. Bringing it? What is that supposed to mean? Yavi? Afil Mi'alma? I mean, so what kind of shear is that? Where are you bringing it from? I mean, you get, that doesn't make any sense. So if you're in the middle of the desert, so now it's a two-week trip to get an animal, and the Shia is a two-week Shia? That's absurd. You can't say a shear where there is no shear. Omrav Papa, no. What it is that Rabbi Hanina is arguing about with Rabbi Yochanan, and what it is that he means to add by saying Kadesh Yavi, it's not that you're bringing it from somewhere else. It's that you're bringing it to a situation in which it can be shechted. So the animal is standing next to you. Now you've got to pick that animal up, turn it over, wrestle it to the ground, and then do the shechita. That's the difference. So that amount of time adds some significant time to the shechita, and that's the question. In practical terms, in other words, if you're running a business, you're taking into consideration, even if you got all the animals there, what's your output? And your schlachtois, what is your output of animals, includes that time for getting the animal ready for shechita, even though it's right there. So that's what we're talking about in terms of the shear of shechita k'dei shechita acheret. Omedet latiot, the animal's standing right here. Now the question is, putting it into a position where it can be shechted. And now we have yet another shechita. Amri b'marav, v'mishmei d'Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Hanina, k'dei sheyagbiena v'yarbitzena. The Yishchot. So now the point over here is, Rav Papa said, all you need to do is to get it onto the ground. Masha Inkain, in the way that they put it in Eretz Yisrael, is a little bit different. She has to be as long as it takes to be magbia and be marbits, the particular animal that you are shechting. So if you're shechting, let's say, a sheep, a behema daka, how long would it take to pick up a sheep, turn it upside down, hold it down, and shecht it? So that would be a daka la daka. If you're talking about shechting a large animal, so then it would be the amount of time that it would take for gasa la gasa. So then that would mean that we've got a whole other opinion over here, according to which you actually have to take a look at the particular type of animal that you are shechting. Okay, and lemaisa, in all of these things, we end up paskening l'chumra, and therefore we have the smallest possible shear. Now, how long does it take to shecht? So we're talking about a standard shechita. There's a standard shechita. But does Shehiya also imply that if it takes you a long time to do the Shechita? Let's say you've got a very dull knife. There's no notches in the knife, so there's no problem of damaging the simonim. But this knife is sort of like the challah knives that they sell, you know, takes 10 minutes to cut a slice of challah. So what would be if you would have a perfectly smooth knife, except it doesn't cut anything? As you can see, I struggle with my challah knife for years. So anyway, it might take you an hour to do a shechita. You know, you're sawing away over there. And it cuts 1 millimeter every 20 minutes. But it's going to take some time to get through the simanim. Doesn't do any damage. So what if you use a sakin ra'ah? You use like a dull knife. It doesn't matter how long the shechita takes, even if it takes all day long. Afilu kol hayom kulo, even if it takes a whole day, there's nothing wrong with that shechita. There's no particular amount of time, even though we have a particular amount of time for the shear of shehiya that we call a standard shechita. That doesn't mean that every shechita has to match the standard shechita, and therefore it would be kosher. But my question would be, boy, Rava, what would be to combine different shehiyas? So let's say you do a shehiya of, I don't know, a half a second at one time. And then another shehiya of half a second. I mean, you've got a whole day to do the shechita, you know. You might have a lot of have a half a second. So do those shehiyas, do they actually add up? That's the question. Maoshi, it's tarfu. Can they add up to one long Shehiyah, or is a Shehiyah only a Shehiyah? Not that there were Shehiyah in the Shita. Well, I understand. I mean, didn't Rava himself just say that even if it takes you all day long, that, I mean, if you're shechting all day long, I mean, so there must have been like these little Shehiyahs of a tenth of a second here, a tenth of a second there, you know, it should add up. And he says you don't even think about that. So why is he asking whether they add up if in his own case, he obviously did not add them up? The own case that he was bringing implies that they don't add up. No, it doesn't. His case doesn't imply a darn thing. What makes you think that he did any Shia? Maybe all that Rava was saying is you can keep going all day long and be very careful not to do any Shia. I don't know. That doesn't prove anything. What about Shia b'miut simani? Mao. So now that this b'pashtas would be the same question that we had before. Then we spoke about chalada, whether when you finish doing the shechita, and now you've already done rov, and now you're continuing to sheft, and in the continuation of the miut simanim, you did a shehiya. So, I mean, do we look at that as you're just cutting meat, because basically the shechita is over? Or do we view the Shechita as one long act of Shechita, and as long as it's going on, it has to be done properly? There's a similar, this is the way Rashi understands it, similar to the question that we had before about Chalada. The Rambam has a totally different explanation of the Gemara, and he says what it's talking about over here is the Legabi, the Shir of Shehiya. Suppose the shear of Shehiya was enough to shecht miut simanim, but not all of the simanim. And it's part of the previous issue of the shear of Shehiya. It's not a separate din. Anyway, once again, we're very makbid on these things, and therefore you have to be very careful. If you did a shechita, you're going to be cutting afterwards. Don't cut in the same place in which it would be a completion of that act of shechita, and therefore you avoid this problem of Rashi's approach to miut simanim. So we leave that with a take. Okay, the next thing we had was Rabbi Shimon Shita. And that is that shechita is defined not by the amount of time it takes to do another shechita, but by the amount of time that it takes to do a bikur. But what does bikur mean? My kidei bikur. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kidei bikur shel chacham. It means, as long as what we think it means is, you know, the rabbi of the city has to come, check your knife. What? So, I don't know, where does the rabbi live? I mean, why doesn't it say how many kilometers I live away? I mean, that doesn't make sense. And we had this before. So how could it possibly mean that? And as we said before, it means, I don't mean another person. I mean, kidei bikur of the sheikh. He's a chacham. So how long it would take him to do a checking of his knife? So as long as it takes to do the bedika of the sakin, and that is what we're talking about. Again, this raises the issue that a sakin, we said before, doesn't have any particular length. So what do you mean they be sakin? Maybe he's using the case of the scalpel, you know, and it's like a 1 millimeter sakin. So how can the Mishnah give us this kind of crazy shear? The Tosha says what it means over here is a sakin that would be sufficient to be cutting molocha without hova or avov that halocha. So there needed to be the length of the tzavar of the behema plus, right, exactly. And you're not supposed to show shechita l'atzmacha. Okay, so we are now ready for our very own Sir Richard. The question is Sir Richard conscious?
Certainly conscious.
There
more
we go.
Conscious. I woke up at 5 in the morning this morning.
And
getting
this
ready
is,
for those
this is early
voyage.
Richie, My gosh.
For me, it's early.
Oh, my gosh.
Before six.
What's happened to you? Okay, go ahead.
I've gotten old, Rabbi. That's what's happened.
Nah, Richies don't age. Ridiculous. Shachat. Now, let's move on to the question of ikur. Okay, so we talked about chalada, and we've talked just now about shehiya. What is the din legabe ikur? And remember that there were some very confusing issues that Rashi had raised. As Rashi talks about ikur, we spoke about this with Moshe Reuven. He raised the question right at the beginning, Daf Yud, where we first dealt with the question. And it seems to be that ikur could be something that just sounds like a regular treifa, in which you use the knife, Rashi says, that has some kind of pegima in it, and it would catch the simen and would tear at the simen. But, I mean, that's one of the treifas, right? And then there's the other ikur, in which the simen is not connected to the jaw, or the simen is not connected to wherever it needs to be connected to on the bottom, to the lungs or to the stomach. And we got confused. So now, finally, we're going to see that there's actually two elements to the din of psikas hagargaret. And this is where there's part of the halacha is in terms of shechita, a psul and shechita, and part of the halacha is in terms of treifas. And the difference is, if there's a psul in shechita, then, of course, what would that mean? It would mean that the animal is an avela. If there's a psul of treifas and you shech the treifa, then there's no tumah. You're not allowed to eat it, but it's not an avela in being metame. So it's going to make a big difference to us whether we're talking about a problem in treifas, which is then nishchat, or we're talking about something that passes the etz of shechita and therefore is a dead animal that had no shechita done to it and is metame bin avela. So let's imagine a case like this. Shachat et haveshet. So you went ahead and you cut through the veshet. You did a beautiful shechita. And then pasak et hagargaret. And then you tore at the kana. And it hit maybe something in the switch section, whatever the case is. There was a pagam. O pasak et hagargaret. V'achaka shachat et haveshet. Or first you tore the gargaret, the kana. And then you shechted the veret, the veshet. O shachat echad mehem. Or let's say you shechted just either the kana or the veshet. V'imtin la ad shemeta. And then the animal died and you never finished the shechita. O shechalid et hasakin tachat hasheni. Or after cutting through the first simen, you did a chalada and you went up. Remember, we talked about this Mishnah before. Why this Mishnah? What is this Mishnah adding to what we said earlier? And we said that over here, it's talking about that you go from the bottom to the top, from front to, instead of from front to back, you went from back to front. So in this case, Rabbi Yeshevav says all of these cases are nevelas, because even though you did an act of shechita in terms of moving your knife, it was a possible shechita. And any psul in a shechita is, by definition, a non-shechted dead animal. Well, the only way you can define a non-shechted dead animal is by calling it an avela. Strangely, Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's actually a treifa shenishchata, because the psulim in the actions of shechita don't mean that you didn't do the act of shechita. It just means it's not a shechita that's kosher. So if you shechted something that was a treifa, in the same way that shechita is mitaheret a treifa midei nevela, it would also could be mitaher these things. And Rabbi Yeshevav said, this makes no sense. Klalama Rabbi Yeshevav mishum Rabbi Yoshua. This is an ancient ruling, says Rabbi Yeshevav. Kol shen nifsula b'shechita nevela. By definition, if the psul is a psul of shechita, it's an avela. Kosher shechita tokira uri v'davar acher garama lipasel. If it was a kosher shechita, but it's got another problem, it had a hole in the lungs, whatever, then that is a treifa that was nishkatam. It's not going to be matami. And in the end, Rabbi Akiva said, "You're right." Hodalo Rabbi Akiva, and he was moda to Rabbi Yesheva. So, the question is, who in the world is the author of the Mishnah Elu Treifas? Because this machlokas ends up in our Mishnah not being a machlokas. Both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yesheva have agreed that if there's a pagam during the Shkita itself, that it's a nevela. So the problem is, it says over here, Shachar is a Vesher, etc., and Rabbi Akiva is Maiden, but what about the opening Mishnah in Elu Treifas? The opening Mishnah says, Beferish, Elu Treifot Beveimah. I'm giving you a list of all things that make an animal a treifa. Nekuvat haveshet upsukat hagargeret. For heaven's sakes. It says over here that if there was a rip in the trachea, it is considered to be a treifa. I'm so confused. I thought you just said that even Rabbi Akiva is moda, that that would make the shchita a shchita of non-shchita, and it would be a nevela. So who said the Mishnah in Elu Treifas and said that that's only a treifa? My Rava, I understand what's the problem. There's no question over here. In our Mishnah we're talking about, where the shechet was shefting, and as part of his shechita, he tears through the kana because he's got some kind of hole in his sakin. Masha Einkein, the Mishnah over there is talking about a case where there was a hole in the trachea. Now, 2 weeks later, a guy shechts. New. So what does one have to do with the other? If there was a hole that was there, that's like a hole in the lung. If somebody goes ahead and he shechts an animal with a hole in the lung, does anybody say that that's an avela? Of course, that's a treifa shenishkata. So what's the problem? Isn't it obvious that Kansha Pasak, the Mishnah Elu Treifas is talking about, where he tore the kaneh, and then later on he did the shechita? Well, it was sof shachat. The difference is that if he shechted, and in the midst of his shechita, he tore it, that's a psul in shechita itself. That's where Rabbi Yesheva and Rabbi Akiva are made that that's an avela. Okay, that's our Mishnah. Masha Inkein, the Mishnah in Elu Treifas is talking about, where he tore it, and then he shechted. And that's like the equivalent of having a hole in the lung. Kidover acher garamlo. It's as if, like we said, turns out there was a hole in the intestines. No. So you had shechted an animal with a hole in the intestines. Over here, there was a hole in the veshet. So, a rove. So it was actually psukas. Fine. But you shechted an animal with a hole in the ikona. I don't understand what the problem is. A sphere of acherbarun el rava, there's a big problem. Because take a look at our Mishnah, and you'll see that this is not supporting what you're saying. Our Mishnah says, Shachat et haveshet upasak et hagargeret, or pasak et hagargeret shachat et haveshet. In either case, it's an avela. Now, the second case was that you tore, it says pasak et hagargeret, you tore the gargeret, and then you went ahead and shachted the veshet. What's the difference? How much time? I don't understand what you're saying. You're saying in a case where he tore at the kana and then he shechted afterwards, that is shechting a treifa. Exactly how much time, Rav? Is that like 10 minutes, 10 days, 10 years? I mean, like, what are you talking about? That's the case. The second case in our Mishnah is that he tore and then shechted. I understand what you're saying. But so it's because it's so close? What do you mean? It's a function of how many seconds passed between them. It was first torn and then he shechted. And you're claiming that in that case, it would be a treifa, not an avela. And our Mishnah says, Beferish, both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yesheva say, no, that is 100% an avela. What kind of answer is that? Well, maybe that's not what it means, says Rava. Maybe when the Mishnah gave that second case, it didn't mean in that order. It meant and. When he shechted the veshet, it means, and he had already shechted the veshet from before. What? That is insane. I mean, there's two rather childishly obvious answers to that question. Number one, that's just a restatement of the first case. First case is he shechted the veshet, and then he shechted the kana. And the second case is he shechted the kana, but he had already shechted the veshet. What's the difference between those two cases? And anyway, if you take a look at the Braita on the Mishnah, the Braita clarifies that your explanation is ridiculous, and it puts in the extra words that don't appear in the Mishnah, the words v'achar kach, and afterwards he shechted the veshet. So, okay, this is no good. This is no good, Rava. Okay, says Rava. Let me try it again. I believe there's a fundamental difference. Let me nail it down exactly. El Amar Rava. Maybe the point is that the Mishnah in Eilat Treifas is not limited to Treifas. Maybe the Mishnah is saying, Eilu Pesulais, meaning the following things are Aser. Some of them are Aser because they're Nevela. Some of them are Aser because they're Treifa. So the first two cases, basically, we're talking about even the case that we have over here in our Mishnah. Well, excuse me, but if you're talking about things that are nevelas, we had other cases that are nevelas. How come you didn't mention that? How about Chizkiah's case? Remember Chizkiah before? Chizkiah says if you cut an animal into two, it's a nevela. Or Rabbi Elazar's case was, remember, that if the thigh bone was removed, and you can actually see this from the outside when it's revutza and it's nires chasera. So what did we say? Nito yarech v'chalal shala. It's a nevela. How come it doesn't list that? If you're telling me it's listing all of the things, whether they're treifas or nevelas, nah. The Mishnah over there is saying asurais, but not things that are tamei. Those cases, it's metame mechayim. It's not listing cases that were metame mechayim. That was the big finish of those two cases. So kikatani, what I'm claiming is that the Mishnah in Eilat Treifas really is not Eilat Treifas. It's Eilu Asurais, but not Tameis. So things that are not metame mechayim are listed. Nevela that is metame mechayim is not listed. Rish Lakish says, come on. I mean, the Mishnah lists Eilu Treifas. I mean, this is crazy. We're going, no. Let's take the Mishnah, what it says. Believe the Mishnah when it says Eilu Treifas. This is the list of Treifas. Now, you're saying there's a difference? Of course there's a difference. The difference is very simple. In the case in our Mishnah, the person shechted at the place where there was this hole. So there was no separate shechita, don't you understand? It's not that there was a hole in the trachea, and then you shechted it somewhere else. That would be like a hole in the lung, and you shechted it somewhere else. Here, you shechted through that hole, because you were shechting and you made that hole. And it wasn't a good shechita there. That is a pagam in the shechita. But if there's a hole in the trachea, now I shouldn't say a hole, a cut through the trachea, because a hole doesn't pass. The cut through the trachea, and you cut somewhere else. There's a hole near the lungs, or there's a hole near the top, and you do a shechita somewhere else. Your shechita has nothing to do with that hole, and there it's like making an animal that with a treif in the intestines, it's cutting its simonim. Is that an avela? Of course not. The shechita per se wasn't affected. That's the key to understanding the difference. If the shechita itself is what's affected, then it's a problem in the shechita. And then it's an avela. If the shechita itself were perfectly normal and cut perfectly naturally in a different place on the trachea, what do I care if there's a hole somewhere else? That's a treifas b'mokamacher. Doesn't matter to me that it happens to be in the same trachea that I'm shechting, does it? Why should it? What's the difference if it's in the lungs or it's in the trachea? That's what I say. It's very simple. So in our mission, it's talking about sheshachat b'makom achatach. That affects the shechita. And the Mishnah, under Eilat Treifas, is saying, if there was a hole, I keep saying hole, if there was a slit in the trachea, and you shechted it somewhere else, of course, then that would be a regular shechita of a treifa. That's called a psul neshchita, nifsal b'shchita. And over there, Rabbi Yeshiva and Rabbi Akiva agree that that is an avela. If you shechta shelo b'makom achatach, then it's kidavar acher garam lalipasel damya. That's like something else pasul did. And in such a case, then Rabbi Yeshiva and Rabbi Akiva would both agree that, of course, it's a trefa shenishchata. That's the case of the Mishnah and Membeis, and that's the case of our Elu Trefas. So I don't know why everybody's getting confused. Well, it sure sounds good, but it sure as heck can't be true. Reish Lakish would never have said such a thing. Reish Lakish says that if you shechted a trachea, and then the lungs got punctured, okay? The din is, it's perfectly kosher. Huh? Yes, even though you, but I didn't finish the shlita. How could it be perfectly kosher? Ah, the point is, we have two essential systems that need to be done in shlita. You need, as we explained, when we're talking about the vridim, if you recall, and that was a very profound insight, which you probably missed, but okay. But the idea over here is that the connection of the animal to the world comes through two external sources, oxygen and nourishment. That's what needs to be broken. Those are two completely different systems in the body. One is the respiratory system, and one is the digestive system. When you cut through the kona, a trachea, you are ending the respiratory system. Now, for all intents and purposes, at that point, there are no lungs. If there is no trachea, there are no lungs. You completely disconnected this animal. I don't care whether, in fact, there are lungs, but the halacha says that's the end of the respiratory system. Now, if you go make all the holes you like in the lungs, you might as well be chopping them up to feed for fricassee. That's all. It's as if those lungs were taken out of the body and were put into a container to sell. If the same thing would have happened on the veshet, and now there was a hole in the intestines, same thing would have been true. The digestive system is removed. There is no digestive system once you cut through a veshet. That's the point. So if Reish Lakish holds that, so then how in the world could he have said that if you've already cut through the rove of the kana, that it's okay, it's the same. He's saying over here, when you shecht it afterwards, that it's a shechita. If Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish himself says that if you first shechted the kana and then you made holes in the lung, it's perfectly kosher. So what does that mean? It means that according to Reish Lakish, it's as if those lungs are command. Remember these words, we use them often in the sugis and chulin. Command the mancha b'dikula damya. It's as if you took those lungs out of the body and you put them in a basket. So hachinami, if you had cut it and it was already cut, there are no kona. It's command the mancha b'dikula damya. So how could it be a trefa? It's an avela. You never did a shechita on the kana. Because according to Reish Lakish, there is no kana. The same way that there are no lungs. So this would be completely inconsistent with Reish Lakish's own approach to the sugya, you see? So that cannot be what Reish Lakish said. Ay, 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 ay. So now every single approach that we've taken to try to make the Mishnah in Eilat Trefas make sense in light of this Mishnah has failed. Elo Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Ava Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Look, there's no way out of it. What we have to say is that the Mishnah in Eilat Trefas is going like Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva said it's only a trefa. Ah, you'll say, but Rabbi Akiva changed his mind. And Rabbi Akiva is but it's Rabbi Yeshiva, that it's an avela. So what? That Mishnah in Eilat Trefas had been already formulated before Rabbi Akiva changed his mind. We have a klal. Once a Mishnah was formulated and taught, we never take it away because it's already entered into the database of Klal Yisrael. People will be referring to it in years and saying, "Hero Dreyfus," and then you'll have to, now you're going to say, "No, let's take that out. There aren't 18 Dreyfus, there's 17 Dreyfus." We're never going to do that. And we need to identify, indeed, that now it's no longer relevant because Rabbi Akiva was the author of that Mishnah, has changed his mind. So we put this Mishnah in first to let anybody understand that actually this was Rabbi Akiva's drasha. But we have a klal, it's a gavi klal, if he's carrying his magic wand, and that is Mishnah lo zaza min koma. Once we have a Mishnah, Mishnahs are not moved away from its place, and we leave it there. Now, talking about that din of Reish Lakish, which is a fantastic chiddush in the halacha, I'd like to look a little bit more at that, because it's not clear to everyone that that is what Reish Lakish meant. It's a very sophisticated understanding of the whole idea of what Shechita is. Segufa. Omer Reish Shimon ben Lakish, Shachat atakona v'charkach nikva hareya kishera. So Rava says, let's understand what that means. It does not mean that if you make a trefa in an animal that is no longer fully functional because it's been half shechted, that that's not a trefa. No, that's not what it means. Suppose you would have made a hole in the intestines. That would have been a trefa, complete regular trefa. So lo amar Reish Lakish ela berei ah. All he was saying was that the lungs, which are the whole point of the cutting through the trachea, is because that is the basis of the chaye harea. It has to get its air through that trachea. Once the trachea is cut, that's the end of the respiratory system, and therefore there are no longer any lungs. But if you would have made a hole in an intestine, of course it would have been a trefa. No, it would have been a trefa, and you wouldn't be allowed to eat it. Rabbi Zera didn't understand Reish Lakish that way. He thought that Reish Lakish was simply saying that if the animal is not fully alive because it's been half shechted, so then you can't make it a trefa. Matkifla Rabbi Zera, I don't understand. If you tell me that even though it has a trefa, meaning it's cut through the lungs, it's mutter because of the fact that it's not fully alive anymore. What's the difference where that trefus is? Mali bere'ah, mali bimei'ayim. I don't understand why you're saying such a thing. But in the end, Rabbi Zera changed his mind and he realized that Rava's approach to Reish Lakish was the real approach. And I'm going to finish this Bezrat Hashem tomorrow. There's been a lot of new ideas that have been raised here, and it's getting late. And I would like you to have an opportunity to review the very sophisticated and beautiful elements that today's daf has brought up. It's mamish. It's such a joy to see the Gemara discussing with such clarity the difference between a pagam in the Shechita and a pagam of a trefes, which a Shechita can then still influence. This, I hope, has finally made Moshe Reuven happy so that he can continue to smile throughout the rest of the day. No, I'm really serious. I mean, this has been on your mind already since Taf Yud, and at last, the Gemara has gotten into the depths of it, understanding how something could be both an act of trefa and under certain circumstances be an act of psul in Shechita. Wow. That is amazing, to recognize the different elements of Shechita, the different impacts of a Shechita's Hakona and a Shechita's Veshet is absolutely wonderful. Yes, indeed. Looking forward to tomorrow.